So today, December 1st, is World AIDS Day. Let's start just by talking about the significance of that day. What you're thinking about as somebody working in the field, and as somebody also who's HIV positive. What are you thinking about today?
Well, we're looking at the day. So we're looking at, you know, back in 1994 when our agency actually, you know, formed. On World AIDS Day in 1994, looking at it, it's like, wow, it's 10 years. You know, looking at all this thing have been changed and the progress of have been made in the community in terms of like HIV and AIDS prevention awareness, and people have more. Supposedly, there's lots of resources out here, you know, this day regarding HIV and AIDS and other sexual transmitted disease, right? But still, there are still a lot of misconception and still a lot of ignorance and stigma around this issue too. At the same time,
Can you talk about some of the positive developments in? First, let's talk about the international response to AIDS, given that it is a sort of global day of recognizing the impact of this syndrome.
Yeah. Well, I think the theme for this year is called Stop AIDS and Keep the Promise or something like that. Yeah, I think that's what the theme for this year, World AIDS Day, and I hope, you know, I'm glad that the world actually taking initiative to actually recognize that this is a pandemic, right? So it's just like it's affected everywhere, and hopefully, you know, government official, it just realized, you know, increase funding on this, you know, to do more prevention work, and then recognize that there is a need to address the issue, and make it a more generalized issue to the public, not something that is something that is not being talked by all part of life, right?
Do you feel that it's still kind of compartmentalized, or that the approach of governments remains that there's one part of society that has to deal with this, but it's not something that the society as a whole has to take up?
Yes, I think the society as a whole need to be take up. And then, for example, it's very general, like when it comes to media and like TV show and thing. We often see a lot of commercial about cancer, you know, information about cancer, diabetic, and smoking, how it's harmful to the public and all that. But they never had, you know, very general awareness in TV commercial about, oh, okay, raise awareness about HIV and AIDS. We don't see that, you know, normally. And this kind of awareness is like, you know, it needs to be more, as I said earlier, that, you know, to need to more normalize the issue. It's just like this, you know, this issue is like it can happen to anybody, not to a certain group of people, right? If the general public can, you know, do that and able to talk about it in a very non-judgmental and misconception way, that I think that would be better.
And you work particularly with young people in the Asian Community AIDS Services, and you yourself learned that you were HIV positive when you were just 19 years old.
Right.
Can you talk about what it was like as a young person to receive that information?
Mm-hmm. Well, I have to go back to like 20 years ago when I was 19. It was 1985. Even though at that time it was very, very, you know, little information in terms, because, you know, as an Asian person too, and a newcomer and new immigrant to the country, and I only been here, you know, just a few years after I found out that I was HIV positive, and because of the language barrier, the cultural barrier, you know, that happening, and it was lack of information, a lot of isolation, because at that time I thought I was by myself. I'm the only gay Asian person that actually contracted HIV, and the only person I actually was able to get information from was my family doctor. and I was not connected to the community service agency that provides HIV and AIDS, and even to my family, I was not able to actually talk to them and being accepted, and just afraid of how they will see me in terms of thing, right? So it took me quite a long time before I finally have to tell my parents about it, and to my surprise, I was one of the lucky ones that they did not disown me. In fact, they were very supportive, and find all their different ways to help me to prolong my health, and until I actually get involved a few years later in the queer community, and then I start getting involved and get more knowledge about the issue, then I get more support.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so even now, after 20 years, and starting 4 years ago when I start working with the Asian Community Services as a counselor and support worker, I still see, up to now, there's so many works have been done and there are information out there, there are still young people who are actually, get newly diagnosed with HIV and AIDS, and still there's barrier for them to actually access service, coming out to their family and friends, and actually how to deal with the issue. I see it even more barrier in terms of the Asian community too, in terms of the family value, right? And it's hard for them to talk to their parents about their sexualities, and it could be their mental health, there could be their drug use habit or whatever. All this issue, it's hard to talk to their parents about it. So that's why we receive a lot of call and from youth, and usually it's an anonymous call, and then they ask a lot of this question and to helping them to come out with the issue, and then how to provide safer sex education to them, and then let them know that there is a choice there that they can make, negotiate with their sex partners in terms of safer sex and more healthy lifestyle.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, 20 years ago, from what I recall, the sort of popular knowledge about HIV/AIDS was that getting a positive diagnosis was like getting a death sentence, and that's obviously changed quite a bit in the West and Western
right.
countries since that time. Do you think that how are young people sort of understanding what a positive test means these days, and how is the queer queer community broadly sort of dealing with this changing reality of the disease?
Well, certainly it's an important change, and it's it's been a great deal happening with all this new treatment available. It's actually been able to prolong lives and ensure and enable people who are HIV positive can still live a good quality of life and all that. But of course, aside from that, then young people now, even though they know they're okay, getting positive might not be a death sentence, but still they need to know that, even though there are treatment out here that can suppress the virus, but still there are still a lot of side effects from the treatment that they need to think about. It is not for a lot of young people, they might have the misconception, it's okay, people are still living longer and everyone, it doesn't matter if I get it or not, I still able to live for many years. But they don't really put in consideration that what do they have to deal with even though with the medication, because from day to day basic that people who are going through the treatment have to deal with a lot of side effects in their life. And it's just prevention work needs to be done, and they need to also need to know that it can happen to them. But for example, 20 years ago, they said, "Oh, is this a gay disease is it's a white disease. Only happen if you're gay and white person. It won't happen to you if you you're heterosexual and I'm Asian. It won't happen to me. So there's still a lot of misunderstanding about that, right? But now they need to know that it actually can happen to everyone. It doesn't matter what your race, your sexuality, your age, your sex, your religion, and your socioeconomic situation. It'd be more crucial for people who are actually in poverty and things. That would be another barrier for them to access service too.
I mean, as you noted, the poverty is a huge
issue
for in health in general,
yeah.
And internationally, we see that most of the new infections and the new disease related to HIV is in Asia, in Africa. Can you say anything about you and your organization understand as the reasons for that, and how you sort of approach that, how that affects your thinking and your day-to-day activity about this about the disease, and how to do education around it?
Mm-hmm. Well, certainly that we have to think it now. As an agency as a whole, we have to think more in a larger concept, more globally, what's going on globally. Because many of our clients that come to us, are new immigrants, and their socioeconomic situation is not not well. And with this, we have to look at it globally, and it's affecting globally. And with the term of education, then we have to look at the language in terms of providing, prevention education, the style and the concept of it, because we have to do it in a more culture appropriate way so they can actually understand it and then understand it and also able to practice it, right?
Can you give any examples of how you might say things differently than, than some other agency serving another community? Are there any sort of mm-hmm. terms or just give me a taste of what you mean by that?
Well, in terms of many of our resources and the condom packages that we hand out, if it's for youth, then we have to make it youth friendly, right? We're using a language youth actually would understand. Right? It's just put it on, put it up, and roll it up. Make it very simple. Nothing technical, right? Nothing too technical about it. And make it fun so people looking at it and it says, oh, okay, this is a joyful thing to actually use a condom. It is fun to use a condom. And, can prevent sexual disease transmission. So that's nothing. And then the language... we usually, each of our resources, we actually have it try to have it printed out in different Asian languages. So people actually can pick it up and look at them and say, this is my language. And it is more related to them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah. We're speaking with Patrick Truong of the Asian Community AIDS Services. Patrick, what's your message to young people today?
Mm-hmm. Well, the message is that, be more assertive about what you want in terms of, able to negotiate with your sexual partner about safer sex. Know what you want to do, for yourself. Don't just because of peer pressure or things like that, and then you can practice unsafe sex in any way, right? And be more understanding and be more compassion to the issue, and then learn more about HIV and AIDS and other sexual transmitted disease, because many other sexual transmitted diseases is easier to contract than HIV and AIDS for example, like syphilis and gonorrhea and all that, right? So, yeah, so just be more assertive about your sexual health.
And to family and friends of people who are learning that they're HIV positive or are dealing with or living with AIDS, what do you want to say to them?
Well, to the family member, it's just that, you know, it's also, you know, knowledge is very important, and then feeling, you know, having the support for the people who are living with HIV and AIDS, and also, you know, getting support and connection, like, you know, socially connected with social support in the community and also people around them is also important. You know, having the compassion and the understanding and giving, you know, people living with HIV and AIDS, you know, a dignity of life. There's a lot of, you know, people who actually are caregiver right now at home, and they might just deal with the issue is that, okay, I'm helping, providing support for my family member, but for themselves, they need to know that, you know, their well-being is also important too. So to in order to provide, you know, long-term care for their loved one.
And finally, to the governments, so the city, provincial, national, and to the international community, what is your message from Asian Community AIDS Services?
Message that, you know, as they, well, I'm going to go back to the theme that, you know, stop AIDS and keep the promise. Well, there has been a lot of like promises from government officials. They're going to be increased funding to worldwide and also locally and internationally. You know, to provide more funding to do more prevention education and then support service to different agencies and things. So I hope they keep that promise and continue, you know, support this issue and looking at this, you know, in a more larger perspective, right?
Thank you so much for joining us today.
Well, thank you for having me.